Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 Central on CBS.
Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at JustAskVi. That's VI.com.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. It's Paul Jamison, your host. Happy Saturday, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. We hope you're safe, well, and enjoying yourself. Boy, what a weird week of weather. Yeesh, this is crazy stuff. I can't get used to this. But today we've got a packed show for you. If you're a first-time listener, the show, Your Real Estate Today, is about real estate. Have lots of things having to do with it. We're going to start the show with a little bit about what I learned this week. And we've also got Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding here for her mortgage update. So we're excited about hearing what's going on in the mortgage world as well. Again, this is Paul Jamison. I'm the owner of the Jamison family of companies. That's Realty, Property Management, and Property Investment. So we do everything from helping buyers and sellers find their dream home, sell their dream home to buy a new home, and also invest in real estate for cash flow purposes and as a part of their building wealth for retirement. So we're excited to chat with you, and we have a management company also for managing those properties. So what did I learn this week? Boy, this old dog learned some new tricks for sure. You know, taking the time to work on things and work with clients, the little bit of extra stuff makes a difference. And I'm going to tell you something that should be a standard practice for any real estate agent in the world. You know, when a house goes under contract, that's a very exciting time, but that's only the very beginning of the sales process. What really is the job of the realtor is certainly to do all the marketing, help prepare the home, price it correctly, put it out there and represent the client well and the fiduciary duty and get it under contract. But the real work is getting it from the moment of contract to the end. And certainly the repairs are a critical part of that, but also the appraisal is a very critical part of that. This week, I was reminded we meet the appraiser at every single listing when the appraiser comes. And we provide the appraiser with a list of information that they're not just going to know by what they can read in the MLS listing. Here's an example. I put some very dear clients of mine, of course, all my clients are very dear to me. I put their home under contract. We worked through the repairs and we got to the appraisal. The house had a $28,000 lot premium when they purchased it 2 years ago. How in the world is the appraiser going to know that? How is he going to know what the client added and what came in the package when they bought the house? He's not, or she. They're not. We have to tell them those things, and it helps them. I loved it. This appraiser, he was awesome. Don was his name. He had a realtor checklist that he sent to me prior to meeting him at the appraisal. That was the most awesome thing because it asked me a series of questions that we normally prepare for. I loved it. I copied it. Just saying. Because it was such a good idea. So going that extra mile makes a difference. And if you're not working with us, make sure your realtor does that. All right? Also, I learned about chewing on my tongue. Because in some situations, we get very unreasonable requests or very unreasonable offers. Sometimes you wonder, how in the world are we ever going to get this to work? Chewing on my tongue allows me to take a minute. Sometimes I have to bite it and take a breath and realize sometimes people are just testing the water. But I also know from experience, based on how it's presented and how it comes to us and the way in which it's presented, it could be a sign of the things to come, even if you do come to an agreement. So you think carefully about how you present yourself. You think carefully about how you represent your clients and how you present offers. It's important because how you start may not be always how you finish, but the impression that you leave, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And I think that should stick. Where's the motivation? And sometimes that's read in there. Also, this week I'm reminded, talk on the stinking phone. Quit texting. Jeez, people. Talk on the phone, please. It'll make life easier. If you guys saw my facial expressions right now, Sandy is like giving me that look. It's pretty funny. Also, lastly, if you got a septic tank, know your permits. Know your number of bedrooms. Know why a permit's important. Know what you can do and not do. Call Public Works if you have questions about a septic tank. Don't assume that you can just add a bedroom. It will affect your permit. So think about those things when you're buying and selling. They do make a difference. All right, Sandy, enough about all the stuff I learned this week. What's going on in the mortgage world?
Well, total chaos is going on in the mortgage world. So purchases are up 4% this week, 11% over the year. Refis are up 10%. So they're up 106% this year. So lenders are inundated. We believe the purchases are up. We're excited about it, but it's probably because there was a delay and there's a lot of pent-up demand. But that shows that it's going to be really good for appreciation because it doesn't look like we're going to see a big downturn in the pricing. So we like that. Housing starts were down. I don't think builders realized that the market was going to snap back this fast. So their inventory, again, is going to be lower because they're not building as much. They're building a lot of apartments, not so many houses. So anyway, I would say if you're a buyer, do your homework ahead of time and make sure that you jump on these houses as quickly as you think you like them. And if you're a seller, it's a great market for you to sell. And if you are working, I would say if you're working, when you call your lender, check to see what their time frames are. We're prioritizing purchases, so we're still within the 30 days. But a lot of lenders are not. So you want to make sure you can hit your closing dates if you've made all the plans to get your trucks and your flights and everything else. It could be a problem if your lender's running 3 weeks behind in underwriting, and we've seen it a few times. So anyway, we're not doing that. We're closing loans on time. But that's pretty much what I'm seeing in the market today, Paul.
Yeah, and Sandy, what are the credit score parameters? Are they still up at around the 620 mark for pricing?
We have we will do 580, but there's going to be some overlays with 580, so maybe a little more down payment or whatever. Most lenders, if they're not selling direct to Fannie and Freddie and Jenny, are going to be around 660 or 680. But if you sell direct, then you can do the lower. So we're 620 as a rule, especially for conventional, but we can go lower if we need to under certain circumstances.
Okay. All right. And what about jumbo? Are we seeing jumbos kind of level out and
come back
into okay?
They're not priced amazing, but they are coming back. So I think some of the scare is subsiding. So we're going to see more and more investors jump back into that market.
You know, Sandy, it's interesting. I put a house on the market this week. And within an hour and 10 minutes of posting that listing, we had 17 showings.
So I guess everybody got the memo.
They got the memo. Well, you got to do the marketing, right? You got to get it out there.
Right.
Grandma used to say, you can't eat if you don't come to the table. You got to bring them to it. Well, it sounds exciting, Sandy. We've got the rest of the week ahead and who knows what the markets will do, but it's good to know that demand is there and that the listings and the buyers are awake and alert. And we've got so much more to share with you to show Your Real Estate Today. You need to stay with us. And if you want to listen to this later, you can always go to the WBT website or jump on my YouTube channel and see us actually in our faces and us yakking at the Jamison Realty YouTube channel. So stay with us to show Your Real Estate Today here on News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Show Your Real Estate Today. Hey, it's Paul Jamison, your host of the show. We are glad that you're with us today, and thank you so much for that. Talking about real estate, everything having to do with it and about it. I've got Josh Lippick with the Costner Law Firm here. We are so glad that you're with us. And Josh, if you can, unmute your Zoom there so we can hear what you say through both venues. We're excited to talk about what's going on. So welcome back, Josh. Good to have you.
Yeah, glad to be back.
Yeah, man. Really good to have you. We've got a packed show today. We want to talk to you, first of all, in answer to what was going on with COVID, in its great wisdom, the attorneys around the Real Estate Commission and North Carolina Association of Realtors has created a form called the COVID-19 Addendum. The COVID-19 Addendum. Josh, why do we have this?
Yeah, well, as I'm sure everybody's aware now, there's been a lot of uncertainty surrounding a lot of things right now. So this is sort of a catch-all for any interruptions to the closing process that may be unforeseen and impacted by the current situation with COVID-19, as far as, if you're trying to obtain financing and you're furloughed or being able to all meet together to sign as we traditionally would, or having access to, if you're doing a mail away closing, being able to get to a UPS store or something similar to that to get those documents signed, or even just finding a notary. So there's a lot of things that could make it difficult to keep with those timelines that the contract sets.
Right, right. You know, if you kind of go through the points of these, the first one was the buyer's inability to obtain a loan, right? And, that just kind of walk through those.
Yeah, so the first one's dealing with financing. So if the buyer were to either lose some of their income or to fully become unemployed due to the pandemic, and in this situation, because there's not a lot of ways to resolve that and keep the deal together, either party at that time could then terminate the contract. And I believe regardless of what time period within the contract that happens at, the due diligence fee would be kept by the seller and the earnest money would be refunded to the buyer.
That's correct. Yep, that's exactly right. What are the other five things there?
Yeah, so there's the second one is use of alternative methods. So a lot of these are going to come down a similar language, being that everyone's acting in good faith. They're reasonably trying to fulfill their obligations through the contract, but they may need to find different ways to be able to do that, whether it's signing things electronically or doing mail-away closings, just trying to work with each other and the title company to make sure everything that needs to be done can be done. If there's something related to the pandemic preventing them from being at closing or being with the attorney.
Exactly. And then what about extension of deadlines?
Yeah, so because so much of the contract has these obligations set with deadlines, the due diligence deadline, the settlement date deadline, because of these interruptions or complications that may cause things to take longer than they normally would, again, as long as everyone's acting in good faith, you can set a time period which the contract would automatically be extended by if a delay was caused by the pandemic. And then it also states in there that if any kind of government-related restrictions were to be lifted, that by the close as soon as possible at that point.
Exactly. Then we've got completion of transaction, inability to complete transaction, and relationship to delay in settlement closing, settlement/closing.
Yeah, and I think I already touched on this just at the end of the last one, where it's stating that as soon as those restrictions or whatever is causing delay, as soon as that situation improves, that everyone would try to close as soon as reasonably possible.
Right. So if you're in quarantine, that's considered a delay and a valid delay.
Yeah. Yeah. And you would just have to notify the other party within a reasonable amount of time and explain what the cause is there.
Right.
And then on the fifth point there, if there's just a complete inability to complete the transaction, you know, let's say the situation got worse and restrictions were increased and you couldn't go anywhere to get documents notarized, that's not really the fault of anyone involved. And again, kind of similarly with losing the financing, either side could terminate and the due diligence funds would stay with the seller and the earnest money deposit would be refunded to the buyer.
Right. The biggest thing around this addendum, was certainly some of the government restrictions, but a lot of people were being furloughed, which was that change in employment. And that's where we saw this addendum stepping in to, you know, as a true, you know, can't do anything about it scenario.
Yeah, and I think the most important part there that they wanted to include, at least if I'm guessing what their intention was with what they've written there, is that for an equitable reason, if someone loses their job, you know, you don't need to lay it on them with, you know, salt on the wound by making them turn over that earnest money fee on top of everything.
Right. And now I'm seeing, however, in the state of where we are, I'm not seeing these anymore, except in rare occasion. And the one thing that has come up, and I will just share it with you, is the seller doesn't have to sign it. You know, I mean, you can present it as a part of your offer, but it's still negotiable whether or not it's signed. Just like any addendum.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Like any addendum, and, you know, a seller might be in a situation where they don't want to have to agree to an automatic extension if, for example, they're purchasing another house and they need it to close within a certain amount of time.
Right. You know, because, many buyers, and they don't realize this, you know, on their current mortgage will, you know, just kind of say to the lender, hey, I want that 90 days where I don't have to make a payment. You know, I'll make a lump sum payment at the end of the 90 days, but then they don't realize that if they do that, it makes them ineligible for their loan in most cases. So, you know, if you decide to defer your mortgage payment for that 90 days, realize that the lender, that's going to hit your credit. You know, you have to have 3 months worth of consistent mortgage payments after that period of time. You can't just pay it off all in one lump sum. And so a lot of people that have deferred their mortgage for that 90-day period thinking that it would, hey, you know, I'll just settle it up when I close, that's not how it works. So buyer beware, if you got a house and you've got a mortgage, don't, and you're in the middle of a transaction, don't ask for that free 90 days, or that's not 90 days anymore, but but whatever that is, because it will come back to bite you. So,
yeah.
Interesting addendum, man. Interesting addendum. Well,
hopefully we don't need forever.
Yeah. Well, Josh and I decided today what we were going to do was we were going to talk about the typical kind of home buyer expenses and process. So we were going to kind of walk through what that process looks like and some of the attributes around it. Now, have we hit every detail? No, we have not. But I kind of thought it was cool that they've got this typical home buyer expense. You know, we may throw some numbers out there. You better not hold them to us. So we've got like a buyer's expenses, seller expenses, and a step-by-step path to closing. So don't get knocked on the numbers, because they're going to vary by attorney. They're going to vary by price. They're going to vary by area. But interesting that we can have this discussion to help you be prepared to do either, any, or all. So stay with us to Show Your Real Estate Today. I'm Paul Jamison here with Josh Lippick. We're excited to share real estate knowledge with you. So stay with us on News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT. Welcome back. Happy Saturday. This is the Show Your Real Estate Today. Hey, it's Paul Jamison, your host with the Jamison family of companies, Realty, Property Management, and Property Investments, here with Josh Lippick with the Costner Law Firm. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to some real estate. We have had our mortgage update. We have talked about the COVID addendum. And now we're going to talk about the buying, selling, and step-by-step path to closing. All right? So let's talk a little bit about the kind of some of the typical home buyer expenses commonly paid by the home buyer. It varies state by state. So please have a little bit of shalala in your mind when you know that it may not be appropriate. I will call them out as I know them. But of course, when somebody asks for closing costs, some of those expenses may vary from buyer to seller. All right. First of all, the home inspection. That is typically paid by the buyer. Okay. Now, just so you know, that if you are doing a VA loan and you have a CL100 or a termite, that is paid by the seller in the majority of cases. But I think almost all cases. But anyway, okay. All right. Also paid by the buyer in most cases is the survey. You know, it's interesting. Many, many years ago, I had a family farm that I sold, and I had to have it surveyed. And the original deed said things like, take 6 steps from the old buggy spring and, you know, turn right until you find the big oak tree. Well, now they have these GPS things. There's no more buggy springs and no more big oak trees and rocks with, you know, JR's initial in them anymore. They got this down to a science. So, you know, surveys are, though, they're not cheap, especially if you're asking for some elevations. And we just did one recently on a third of an acre, and I believe it cost us somewhere in the area $750, $800 because we needed elevations or topography, and we needed some other attributes around the street, and we needed tighter dimensions. So it really just depends. They can range based on the size of your lot, the size of the acreage, how hard or easy it is to get to it, and so on. So also, your buyer pays for a share of the property taxes that start at the day in which they buy, right, Josh? And same with association dues and other fees. They're prorated, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And honestly, that's probably the item that I get asked about the most when we're going through the settlement statement at closing. A lot of times people will be concerned that they're double paying for the taxes. But depending on the time of the year with the tax bills coming out in August, you're either crediting the seller if they've already paid it for the portion that they're not going to own it anymore.
Right.
Or in the reverse, they're going to be crediting you if it hasn't been paid yet for the portion that you or your lender on your behalf through escrow will be paying.
Yep. That's exactly right. Buyer pays for the attorney for the title search, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, you want somebody that you're paying checking that title, right? You know, just very briefly, when they do a title search, what are they doing?
Well, we're searching anything that could affect title, so any kind of judgments, liens, mortgages, issues in the prior chain of title, and by that I mean if there were any faulty deeds, either with the current owner or a prior transfer, any kinds of estates or foreclosures, anything that could make it where the title isn't in a condition that it can be transferred effectively and completely to a new buyer.
Right. Right, and in conjunction with that, they're also getting title insurance, right?
Yeah, and that'll always be a requirement if you're getting financing through an institutional lender.
Right, and to Josh's point, he makes a good one there. You know, I've had many people, including myself, you know, you buy a piece of property for cash. You know, you do have a choice on whether or not you get title insurance, but why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I agree. We always very strongly recommend that, even in a cash purchase. And I think in 4 years, I've only ever had one person decline obtaining that. And really, it's a one-time payment. It's not that expensive. It's set by a standard statewide rate. And I've seen examples where cash buyers don't obtain those policies. And when something comes up down the road, they end up in a situation where, you know, it could cost them thousands of dollars to cure the title before they can sell it.
Right. So just very quickly, what does that title insurance cover them for?
It covers them in terms of having clear and marketable title. So if something were to come up that was missed or there was a misindexed mortgage from a prior owner, something like that, they would be able to make a claim with their title insurance company to have any loss of value or anything that needed to be paid off to have that covered for them.
Right. So the buyer also pays for their homeowners or hazard insurance for a year, typically, if they're going to escrow. Any kind of down payment they would bring, lender fees if they're buying points or you know, fees for different things that the lender is doing for them or the cost of the lending. Flood zone certification fees, meaning it's a fee to say I'm in or not in a flood zone, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And then fees to record the deed at the courthouse. Do you have any idea what it costs now to record a deed at the courthouse? Is it like $100 or something?
Yeah, County, it's $26 for a deed and $64 for the mortgage.
Right.
And then I believe $4.50 per document to record them online, which typically you're going to want to do if you're trying to get on record the same day as closing.
Absolutely. And then you're going to fund those escrow accounts with some extra property taxes and insurance. And as we said earlier, you know, that's something you will fund at closing, that you'll bring a advanced supply of money to make sure that there's plenty. All right, on the seller side, they've got attorney's fees for deed prep, right?
Yeah, prepping the deed, lien waiver, tax forms. There's not a whole lot for sellers to sign, but, you know, maybe 10 to 15 pages when it's all said and done.
Right. And then they pay the excise tax, which in Mecklenburg is what, $2 per thousand, I think?
Yeah, that sounds correct.
Yep, and their share of the property taxes for when they live there, and association dues and other fees that may be involved. You know, it's interesting because it's not on here. Association dues also now the seller pays for the ability to, if there's a transfer fee or a capital contribution fee in the HOA, right?
Yeah, any kind of a transfer fee, or I've seen it called a few different things, but anything associated with us being able to obtain the documents we need for closing from the HOA management company.
Mm-hmm. Money grab fee.
Sorry?
Money grab fee.
Money grab fee.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's what I call it.
Investments, of course, too.
Yeah. You know, and then also that's not on here is the HOA certification fee that sometimes you have to pay in order for them to fill out the documents and say what's owed. That's typically paid by the buyer, though.
I think it's Section 8J of the contract. I'd have to look to double check, but I believe that might be a seller expense.
Yeah, there's some that are and some that aren't. We had one the other day where we had to pay, what was it, $450 to get the HOA to fill out a stupid form. That's pretty crazy.
It's a lot.
Yeah, and the commissions are typically paid by the seller 99.9% of the time. Fees associated with loan payoffs for their loans. And transferring, wiring fees into their checking account. I love the wiring, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly faster than waiting for a check that large to clear.
And then anything that's agreed between buyer and seller. So when Josh and I come back, we're going to go through the quick step-by-step path to closing. We're going to take you to the end, the real high five, the super woo-hoo. When the money changes hands. All right, the Show Your Real Estate Today. Josh Lippick with the Kostner Law Firm, myself, Paul Jamison. We're having fun on a Saturday. Stay with us. We'll be right back. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Hello and welcome to Show Your Real Estate Today. Thanks for being with us. We're enjoying this Saturday with you, and thank you so much for listening. This show, if you're just popping on, is about real estate. We would love to talk to you and love to share with you. You can always reach out to us at Jamison Realty at 704-846-DUNN, 704-846-3663. And Josh Lippick with the Kostner Law Firm. How do they get in touch with you, Josh?
Yeah, my direct line is 704-430-5378.
Thank you, Josh. And the Kostner Law Firm is our closing attorney partner. They work with us on closings for our buyers and sellers. And it's important as we talk about this process, you know, typically the buyer selects the attorney and buyers and sellers go there. And I will tell you, since I've been aligned with the Kostner Law Firm, we don't always go down that path. A lot of times my sellers want their own advocate. Because traditionally, and again, you can expand on this, Josh, they don't have one. But if they use you on the seller side, they do.
Yeah, that's right. You know, like you said, typically, and almost all, well, not all, but most cases, the buyer will have their attorney, and then that attorney will facilitate any of the needs of the seller to complete the transaction. The reason why someone may not want to go that route is because ultimately, if a conflict arises between the two parties, the buyer's attorney is, you know, they have a fiduciary duty. Well, they have a fiduciary duty to both, but ultimately they represent the buyer. So if the seller, on the off chance that a issue may arise, they would want their own representation backing them.
Right. Right. And I've had Kostner prepare many seller docs for my clients, and although the buyer firms aren't especially receptive and warm and fuzzy to it, they do work with us, and I just really like sometimes because that way I know my clients have advocacy. So you could argue both, but in many cases, including my transactions, I use Kostner for either side, and it's always worked out that way. the step-by-step path to closing. Buyers making the offer, right? We got that out there. Then the real estate agents facilitate the negotiation. Seller accepts the offer, or they work back and forth until it is accepted. And at that point, the buyer then gives to the seller the due diligence fee, and the buyer then gives an escrow agent, typically a law firm, their earnest money. And they're two separate things, right? Earnest money is one thing. Due diligence is like putting the home in layaway. I'm going to examine it. I'm going to get my work done. I'm going to negotiate repairs, even though the contract says as is. But during that period of time, I'm going to make the deal happen. And if we can't make it happen, I'm leaving and I'm going to take my earnest money back. But after the layaway or due diligence period is over, that earnest money then becomes hard money. It is non-refundable. Okay? So the earnest money goes to the attorney. The copy of the contract goes to the lender and to the law firm. Here, let me speak into your ear, people. I said something I need you to hear. It goes to the lender and the law firm. Why do you need a copy of that contract early, Josh?
Well, we're going to want to start getting title processed as soon as possible so that we can get that over to the lender. So it's not going to hold them up when it's time to get their final underwriting review completed so that they can get you closed on time.
Exactly. And then you have to fill out some fancy paperwork because you got to order what's called a payoff.
Yeah, and that's another reason why we would want it as soon as possible, because payoffs typically we can get within 24 hours, but there's some cases where someone's mortgage maybe was with a lending institution that no longer exists, or there's other title issues that come up, and the more time that we have to resolve those, the less likely they are to delay your closing.
Right. That's exactly right. So the lender orders the appraisal. Inspections are ordered by typically the buyer agent, almost always by the buyer agent. In our particular case, we order a home inspection, a radon inspection, a termite inspection or a pest inspection. But in some cases, you also would order a septic inspection. You would order, depending on where the house is, and a well or a well inspection. You know, and get all the stuff and inspections needed. If you need a structural inspection or if you need a HVAC inspection, do all the inspections during that due diligence period, right? Then if you get over those hurdles, then I tell my client, okay, let's get a survey, right? A survey. And the survey is helpful for what reasons, Josh?
Well, as a matter of course, we always recommend these, unless, of course, the property is a condo or a townhome, in which case you're not really purchasing the land around it. But, you know, these could reveal issues that aren't otherwise apparent just by visual inspection. You may find out that a portion of your driveway or your fence is on a neighbor's property, so we'd want to try to resolve that. And in some cases, there could be much larger issues. The house could be violating a setback line or not even on the right lot, I've heard, in some very rare cases. But typically, they're going to come back more or less what we expect. And it, like I said, as a matter of course, they're always a good idea to have because it's a one-time payment where you can go ahead and make sure there's not anything that's going to come up down the road and cost you much more money.
Right. Agree with that 100%. That is exactly right. I have a situation right now where we found out that the back line of the property actually crosses into an abandoned alleyway owned by the city. So the fence goes into the alley owned by the city. Now, that's something you're going to need to know down the road. That's a material fact, right? You know, the city could come along someday and say, hey, move that fence. Or, You know, what I suggested was, if you were okay with that, go down to the city. If it's an abandoned alleyway, see how you can acquire that piece of property from the city. They don't want it. You know, they may give it to you because they're going to get more taxes. You know, buy it for a dollar. You know, something. And I've seen that where when they abandon it, they turn it over to the homeowners there and divide it up. There's multiple ways to handle that, right? Okay, so the buyer also should be calling their home insurance company and ordering what's called a CLU report. A CLU report is a credit report for the house. Claims that it may have been on the house, water damage that may have been on the house, other claims or issues that have come up, which affects how the home is rated and your insurance premiums. So don't forget to involve your insurance agent. There's a nugget for you. Bet you didn't think I was going to talk about that. That's a really good thing to know, the CLU report. All right? Especially in some of these older houses, it's something important to know. But really in any house, right? All right. And then, after you do that, you're scheduling that closing, and you're also working on getting your utility switched over. So it's the day of closing. It's the big woohoo day. Can buyers and sellers sit in the same room now?
Right now, we're trying to keep the number of people in any room at one time down to four.
Okay.
So I guess theoretically, if you had a single buyer and a single seller and then me there, that would work. But for the most part, we're trying to keep people as separated as possible.
Right. Well, don't forget, wire your funds in, get the deed recorded, which you all do, and then everybody settles up. That settlement statement puts the money where it's supposed to be and gets the deal finished. All right, Josh. Well, we've worked our way through it. Good to talk with you today. The Koster Law Firm, again, how do they reach you?
Yeah, 704-430-5378.
If you're looking for us at Jamison, if you're interested in buying or selling or investing in real estate, we want to talk to you, 846-DUNN, 846-3663, or you can pick up my book called Opportunity is Knocking at pauljamison.com. I'll send you a signed copy. Thanks for being with us on this Saturday. We appreciate you all, and we're thankful that you're with us. Come back next week. We'll be here. God bless. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, the show your real estate today. Take care.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake.
It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.